The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Wokingham Paper for Friday, September 15th, 2017. My name's Dale Wimbush, editor of the TilehurstEnd.com. I'd like to be joined, as always, on this show by the Wokingham Paper's Reading reporter, Tom Crocker. Tom, welcome back.
Hi Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, mate. My holiday is rapidly coming to a close. I can't believe it's been a week since we spoke already.
Yes, I know. It must be what, afternoon over there, so it's a morning afternoon one
today. Yeah, it's not too sunny either, which sort of reflects the mood really around the Reading camp, because this time last week we were speaking, it was bright, it was sunny, we were all happy. We'd got into the international break on a high, had a winnable home game in front of us, and said 7 days later and it's all just a little bit overcast.
Yeah, it changes so quickly, doesn't it? I mean, obviously went into the break beating Birmingham and it was all looking good. The signings were all sorted and we thought, get a win against Bristol City, we'll be up the league and it'll all be looking like going in the right direction again. But it's another question mark again now. The long home unbeaten run is gone and suddenly you're looking at it and thinking Reading need to start picking up some points. Obviously, yeah, Tuesday game was called off and they're playing catch-up a little bit now after a week ago, like you say, it was all looking great. So, yeah, it's not been the best of weeks.
Yeah, and that 1-0 home defeat to Bristol City really sort of coming out of nowhere. I mean, the gut instinct from a lot of people and the reaction is, well, this shows exactly why we didn't sign a ruddy striker. With, you know, didn't take our chances. John Daly Bodvarsson missing some sitters. Chances going begging and Bristol City sort of sneaking it with 5 minutes to go. In isolation, was it a performance and a result that worries you, or is this one that you're happy to sort of put away in the, well, it's football, it happens?
I think we've had a few of these sort of conversations. I mean, as a one-off, I don't think it's a huge concern just based on the fact that it's the first time they've lost at home for a long, long time. So if they now go on a little bit of a run, then it'll all become a bit more academic. Obviously, ideally, they'd have won again on Tuesday if that game had gone ahead, and then it would have kind of been forgotten about a little bit. Bodvarsson missed a great chance in the second half, particularly scuffed one wide. And I don't entirely buy into this this conversation of the fact they got they haven't bought another striker means they can't challenge. I mean, they haven't lost anyone from last season, really. Jan coming to be back soon, and they haven't really lost any goals from last year, and they pretty much challenged right the way up to the last seconds at Wembley. So it's not obviously the ideal start to the season. The game itself, I mean, yeah, like I said, they nicked it right at the end, Bristol City, but then Bristol City again a couple of days later went to Wolves and got a point. So it shows maybe how good they've been underestimated a little bit. I think they started last season really well as well and faded away. So yeah, it's disappointing obviously to lose right at the end, and I think Vito probably should have saved it as well looking back at it. And you just have to hope it's just one of those days. I don't think it's a huge concern just yet so early in the season.
Yeah, you kind of look at it in the, you know, in a golf sense of how under par or over par Reading are with their points. And you break down the six games we've played so far this season and they're not too far away with what you'd have thought. I mean, if you went into the pre-season, certainly you wouldn't have necessarily expected us to beat Aston Villa. We got points there. We got the point at Fulham. You probably would have thought that. The win at Birmingham, yeah, great. And then Preston and QPR, two grounds that have never been particularly favourable to us. I suppose really it's just the Bristol City game that sort of really sticks out. But 7 points from six games, not amazing, but at the same point, it's not catastrophic either.
No, I think, yeah, like you say, the only one really is that Bristol City one. If they'd won that, I think it would have looked, everyone would have been quite happy with the start. I think it would have been pretty much par where they should be. But then again, maybe you look at Brentford tomorrow and say that was one that they usually struggle in. So if they go there and, well, they did last year anyway, if they go there and get a win there, then it sort of balances it out. So yeah, I think they're maybe 2 or 3 points short of where they should be really at this stage based on the fixtures, but that's not a huge margin to make up, I don't think.
Yeah, and you look at things like the goal difference and, you know, defensively they seem to be doing okay. You know, they've only conceded 6 goals in 6 games, which is a pretty decent return. It's just going forward, only 5 goals scored. There's only 3 teams in the division who've scored fewer goals than Reading this season. So it does look like that is an area they really need to improve on. We saw Sonny Aluko make his debut on Saturday. How do you think he got on? Mixed reviews generally from what I've been reading so far.
Yeah, I'd say I wasn't at the game personally on Saturday. I had to miss that one. But obviously I've seen a lot and spoken to people who were there. And he looked really bright by the sounds of it. And I think he played the whole game and he's going to be a big addition to the team. He'll see playing out wide, and he might get a little run up through the middle maybe at some point. And Yeah, I think we spoke to him before the game actually, and he's sort of raring to get going and play as many minutes as he possibly can, and I'm sure he'll start scoring goals soon enough. It's a thing, they have six of the new signings or five of them started the game against Bristol City, and it's always maybe going to take a little bit of time to gel together. That's always, yeah, an excuse you don't really want to hear that at this point, because you want to start getting the points on the board quickly. But yeah, there's a stat also, of course, Reading haven't, they're the only side I think in the Championship not scoring the first half all season, so that's something they've got to try and address pretty quickly. They can't keep going on with that. They scored one against Millwall in the Cup, I think, but apart from that, it's all second half goals, and that may be something they've got to look at, because that can't really be a coincidence, I don't think, this far into the season. So hopefully they can try and get off to a quick start tomorrow, and two away wins on the bounce then would be much welcome at this point.
Yeah, you can see sort of the plan that Stam's trying to go with in that Bristol City game. The balance and generally the team looked really good, and especially when you had the reinforcements, the likes of Edwards coming on. He made his debut in the second half as well, putting a decent performance at the time he was on the pitch, although City did score their winner while he was on there. But they've got lots of options. They've got those plans that we talked about this time last week. It's just a case of finding the one that really gels together. And I still do think, going back to the firepower issue, I still do think they're that little bit short. I think trying to change the game and chase the game especially, there doesn't seem that many options available to really sort of, you know, flood the opposition box. They've got a lot of tricky players, a lot of wingers, but still that, you know, that Cureton, that Adam Lafondre figure, maybe just still missing. But hopefully we can make up for that in other areas. Moving away from the Bristol City game, one news story that was doing the rounds earlier this week, sort of almost came to nothing though. There were reports from the Reading Chronicle that Jesse Mendes might have left Reading. Was there any truth to that?
No, I think he's had a knee injury for the last few weeks, and obviously it sort of blew up when they had the team photo down in Reading on Wednesday, and he wasn't part of it. So other injured players were there, so it sort of raised a little bit of a question mark. But yeah, he's just basically been out with a knee injury and didn't go down there. I imagine that's just for physical reasons rather than anything else. In terms of the match day squad, he might not even get in it at the moment anyway, you could argue. So that's probably why his absence maybe hasn't been noticed quite so much as it would have been at the start of the season. But yeah, I think it's just a knee injury. As far as we're aware, it's not too bad yet, but we'll try and find out more, obviously, tomorrow. And then, yeah, he might be involved in the cup game possibly if it's not too bad. But yeah, I think it's just an injury of him. He certainly hasn't left anyway.
Yeah, that cup game is going to be more and more important, because then you suddenly realise now the amount of players that Reading have around that first team squad that just need games and need an opportunity. You know, the likes of my own favourite, Stephen Quinn. You've got your Mendezes, your Bearins, your McClearys, your Edwards, George Evans, players like this that aren't necessarily getting, you know, sometimes they're even onto the bench now. And it's vital that they sort of feel involved and have the opportunity to showcase and say, look, you might not think I'm in your plan A, but here's what I can do.
Yeah, it is. It's something we also put to Yap after the last round, and he sort of said he's not just going to use it to give minutes to players. He wants to win these games, so he'll probably rotate a little bit. Obviously, it depends how the sort of the league's going, if they get deep into the competition, but he's certainly going to want to look at that one and try and win it. I'm not sure he'll play quite as many younger players, for example, as the last round. Like you say, they've got a lot of guys, experienced players, who now it will look like a heavily rotated team maybe, but they're still going to be McCleary and the likes of them, they're still going to be a very experienced side. So they've got a deep squad, which I think can only help if they want to try and go on a bit of a cup run, which Yap's always said he would like to do. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what he does on Tuesday night. Obviously, it sort of depends on injuries, etc., from the weekend, but he'll make a few changes, but it will still be a strong team. So they've got every chance, I think, of causing Swansea problems on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we have that Carabao Cup third round game, as mentioned, we go to Griffin Park. We take on Brentford, a team where we've had not a lot of joy since they returned to the Championship. We did have that 3-1 win early on a couple of seasons ago under Steve Clarke. But other than that, it's been a series of thumpings. How do you see this one shaping up this weekend? Any expected returns? Will we see the likes of Jordan Obita in the matchday squad, do you think?
I think I said last week he should be there. So I think now a week on, he should definitely be there this time. I think John Swift will be back as well. So it's another selection headache, if you like, for Yap. I think Kermigant, Harriet, Mendes and I think Watson are all still out injured if they were going to be involved anyway. The only question mark, I think, is Liam Kelly went off against Bristol City. He had a, I think he had a kick to his calf, so he came off for Edwards. So I think it's he's had a week to recover from that, and I don't think it was a serious one, so they'll hope he's okay. He's obviously had a great start to the season. And yeah, I'd say the injury situation, like we said last week, is not looking bad at all, really. Brentford, I think you had them down as your dark horses.
I did.
They haven't quite got out of the blocks just yet. No. Winless so far, so yeah, it's they've had a lot of changes themselves as well.
They were gutted on deadline week, weren't they? They lost several. But Harry Redknapp basically came down, rounded up a load of their players, and took him back up to the Midlands. Yeah.
Lost Jota, which is the big one. I think they've got a couple of big injuries still as well. Canos and Mlasevic, I think, are both out injured. So they're winless. So it's a game. I think Reading have got to go up there, and I think they've got to try and get a win there. I think it's the point in the situation as it is now. If they're serious about contending for promotion in the top two, which are all the noises coming out now, then they've got to make up this gap. I think it's 9 points already to the top two, maybe, even though they've got a game in hand. But they can't really afford to drop too much further back, so I don't think they can afford to go there and lose, definitely, because otherwise it would become playing catch up already, which really you don't want so early on in the season.
Do you think we'll see a change in system again from Stam? He played that three centre back system up at Birmingham and it got results in a clean sheet, but went to more of a back four against Bristol City. Do you see Thiago Laurie maybe coming back in for a back five?
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. Obviously, it worked really well at Birmingham, and the Brentford boss has been speaking and saying that they know exactly what to expect from Reading, so he obviously thinks he knows what they're going to do. And I know last season Yap said Brentford were one of the best sides they played at Medeski. I think it was a 3-2 win, but Brentford came out and looked really good on the day, gave it a really good go. And yeah, it should be an entertaining game. There's usually goals. Obviously last year away from home it didn't go well at all, but there was a few of those days, so I don't think it's just Brentford especially. But yeah, they're two good sides. I think Brentford will, like you say, I think they'll pick up from where they are at the moment. They're in bottom three, but they've got a good side and they play good stuff. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he changed system again. He seems to have it in his mind now how to try and get these points away from home, and as it worked so well last time, it'd be a surprise to, especially as they lost the last game, of course, it'd be a surprise to not go to a three at the back again.
Yeah, it sort of seems to. I feel a little bit sorry for Thiago Alori, and you know, it just seems to be that missing, not the missing ingredient, but he just seems to have lost out in that McShane and Liam Moore partnership. Obviously, you know, a fine partnership as it is, but you do sort of have to raise a few question marks about a player that they paid a lot of money for last season. If he can't get into the side on a regular basis, doesn't look great. And yeah, hopefully, because I've got really high hopes for him, hopefully he can come in and really do the business. But yeah, Brentford, as you mentioned, 3 points from their six games so far. They've had a difficult start. If you look at the teams they've been playing, you know, they've been to Sheffield Wednesday, they've been to Aston Villa, they've had Wolves at home. So it's not like they've been, you know, facing a load of absolute chumps. if you can call anyone in this division a chump, cliche alert. But yeah, so they've had that tough run in so far. Prediction league-wise, we all spectacularly missed the mark against Bristol City. None of us seeing that 1-0 home defeat coming. But how do you see this one going, Tom?
Yeah, I think Reading got the sort of away monkey off their back, really, winning at Birmingham. And I think they're more than capable of going to Brentford and getting the win. Sort of quietly optimistic and say a 2-1 Reading win. I think it's about 40 years since they kept a clean sheet at Brentford, but so I might not go for that. But 2-1 I'm going to go for tomorrow.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not quite as optimistic. I'm predicting more doom before the clouds part. I think we're going to be 2-0. But, you know, every time we all predict good things for Reading, bad things happen. So I'm kind of taking one for the team here whilst indulging my pessimistic side. So very much hope I'm wrong on that one. We will see. One other bit of news coming out this week, Tom, I wanted to get your thoughts on a new TV deal for the Football League, for the EFL, should I say, from the 2019-20 season. A new deal with Sky Sports. The key bit of this deal will be that fans from now on, well, from next season, will be able to watch any midweek game streamed live. So that's a real boost for those Tuesday night trips to Middlesbrough and Sunderland.
Yeah, it's great, obviously, for mainly the away trips, I think. And obviously, just fans who live outside of Reading and want to have a watch, it's great news for them. The only sort of bone of contention maybe with it will be, will it affect attendances in terms of fans maybe just staying at home and watching it rather than going to the Medeski? So that'll be interesting to have a look at. I'm not sure it'll make a whole lot of difference, really. I'm not sure when Reading are on TV on Sky. I think also the bigger teams tend to get bigger viewing audiences. So I think Reading tend to get a similar sort of attendance, no matter whether it's on TV or not. But yeah, it's obviously, it's great news, I think, in general, that Sky are looking into putting more championship games on, and I'm sure a lot of fans will be very happy about it, especially for the away trips. That'll be the biggest boost for fans watching, I think.
Yeah, it seemed to the inevitable evolution, really. We saw from this season fans abroad being able to watch most EFL games live. It's just sort of an extension, really. You look in the States, you know, most games are live for all of the major sports. It's just football. They're protecting that Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, which I think is a good thing, but it just made sense, I think, to be able to let fans watch them.
Yeah, I think you're right. It'll be interesting to see the sort of the figures and what have you. But yeah, it's I think it's a good development, and one that they'll say a lot of fans will be happy about.
Absolutely. So we can look forward to that. As I said, I don't know if it'll make too much of a big dent in that Reading away, travelling to Middlesbrough or Sunderland or Newcastle on Tuesday night, but we shall see. Anyway, Tom, thank you very much for joining me. What can we look forward to in the Wokingham paper this week?
So I'll be going off to Brentford tomorrow, so there'll be coverage of that in the paper. There's obviously not too much in terms of preview-wise from midweek, but we'll have stuff that Stam said after the game last week, so that'll be going up. And then, yeah, it's all on to the game tomorrow and then on to Tuesday.
Absolutely, and that's Carabao Cup game with Swansea. You can get your tickets for tenner in advance, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of crowd they draw for that one. Lots of bits and pieces up on thetylersen.com. As usual, I said I've been on holidays with a few of the lads, so the content will be ramping up again. We'll have lots of feedback from the Brentford game, player ratings, all that usual goodness as well. The main edition of this podcast will return next week as well. I will be joined by couple of co-hosts. I don't know who they are yet. I've got to see who's around and when. To keep an eye out on the Twitter feed, as usual, please send your questions in. Hashtag TTE podcast is the one to go to. And a big thank you, as always, to everyone who contributes via patreon.com/thetylersen. It's our crowdfunding, so you can throw us a couple of quid to help us boost the show and helps bring me equipment that I can take with me when I go to far-flung places like this. So that is a thanks to your direct awesomeness and generosity that we can do this show, and to you, Tom, as well, your generosity as well. We've had a few technical issues. Let's just say foreign Wi-Fi isn't as cracked up what it cracked up to be, but we've got there in the end. So Tom, thanks very much for joining me. Have a cracking weekend, safe trip down the M4 to Brentford, and we'll hopefully chat next week.
Yeah, we'll do, mate. Cheers.
Take it easy. Ta-da.
Bye.
The Tylehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetylehurstend.com.